Obituary.
Wally, famous Amos. The talent spotter behind some of America's favourite cookies died on August 13th, aged 88.
In his last years as a talent agent, Wally Amos got tired of massaging egos. He also got weary of clients who threw fits or didn't show up or wouldn't pay his commission. What he needed was stars who were dependable, fun, and brought in money. As it happened, they were right beside him. They were very small, not much bigger than a quarter. He made them himself, carefully mixing a lot of good natural ingredients together. They came in three varieties, one choc chip with peanut butter, one choc chip with pecans, and one with butterscotch chips and pecans. On the baking tray, as on a stage, they lined up in perfect rows. Each one was an individual, you could see. Extra choc chips here, a scented pecan there, some better endowed than others, but all ready to go. And into the glow they went. Since these were egos he didn't mind massaging, he leaned close to the oven door. "Now, guys, bake nice," he told them. "You're going to go out into the world. You're going to make people happy. So I want you to get nice and brown and just beautiful." He was sure his little stars heard him and rejoiced. If he sensed any reluctance, any lagging in the baking, he blew a few cheery notes on his kazoo. They would really hurry up then. For some time, making cookies had been his healing therapy for evenings at home. It conjured up the kitchen of his Aunt Della's place in Harlem, where he lived from the age of 12, after his parents had divorced. The wonderful scent of baking, the warm cookie in his hand. Then he decided to take that comfort further. In 1975, buoyed up by a $25,000 loan from top-tier Hollywood friends, he opened up a venue for his new stars on Sunset Boulevard in Hollywood. It was called Famous Amos in blue and white, and he was already painted on the shopfront in the Panama hat and embroidered shirt he almost always wore. But he was eclipsed by the huge cookie he was admiring. Inside, the kitchen door was adorned with a star. That was where the true artists were. They were rapidly famous, too. That first store, where they were sold for $3 a pound bag by little Sean Amos standing on a milk crate, made $300,000 in its first year. By 1981, the enterprise had grown into dozens of outlets all across the country and abroad. The cookies were bringing in $12 million a year, and their yellow boxes were piled both in the fancy halls of Bloomingdale's and Neiman Marcus and in the snack aisles of supermarkets. Their selling point was simply that they tasted homemade, rich, crisp, flavoursome, and altogether wonderful. The recipe, of course, was secret. That was part of their fascination. All he revealed was that he used real butter, vanilla extract, and semi-sweet chocolate chips. Fans from as far as Malaysia claimed to have cracked it by adding malted milk powder. Some proposed blackstrap molasses. Just as important, though, was what he left out: colouring, chemicals, and preservatives. He was just their manager now, though one with huge experience. You could easily pick him out in a crowd, not just by the hat, the shirt, and the salt-and-pepper beard, but because he was always smiling. He had built up a fan base for years, taking his little clients to meetings and recordings and enclosing them in plastic bags inside the proposals sent to possible investors. He organized a headshot of The Cookie with an A&M logo to show it had a record deal. There were posters, bumper stickers, and lapel pins. For each new outlet, he held a proper opening night, persuading city fathers to close whole blocks and inviting a host of non-edible stars. He hadn't toiled for years in the talent industry for nothing. In fact, he had done well to enter it at all. In 1967, when he joined the William Morris Agency in New York as a mailroom clerk, there were only a handful of black agents in the country. He had never finished high school, and his job experience before then was as an apprentice chef in a hotel kitchen, where he was regularly passed over for promotion, and in the storeroom at Saks Fifth Avenue. Yet he was sharp enough at William Morris to work his way up to signing Marvin Gaye, The Temptations, and Simon and Garfunkel, huge acts. When he signed the South African trumpeter Hugh Masekela, he broke away to L.A. to start his own agency, but Masekela fired him. After that, he struggled. He struggled eventually with the Cookies, too. In the mid-1980s, they lost their cachet and revenues began to fall. Because he was Famous Amos, he thought he needed no advice on how to run a business. He tried to revive it, selling off equity, until, in 1988, he handed over the whole company for $3 million. For a decade, he also lost the right to use his Famous Amos name. When he went into gourmet muffins, cookies now saddening him to the point where he stopped making them and shaved off his beard, they had to be No Names or Uncle Wally's instead. In 1999, the Keebler Company, the brand's fifth owner, invited him back as Famous Amos, their promoter, but he agreed only if the cookies were presented exactly in his style. Somewhere along the way, they had been coloured caramel and dosed with low-quality vanilla. It wouldn't do. He ended much as he had begun, contentedly, with his own small handmade cookie outlet in Kailua in Hawaii. But there was one significant difference. Beside the shop was a little room full of donated books, where children were invited to come and read. On Saturdays, sitting in a rocking chair, he would read to them for hours. He became a national spokesman for literacy and made it his chief cause. After all, he had come to reading late himself, and his mother, a house cleaner, had never learned. Between cookies and reading, there was an obvious link, he thought. Both were about passing on joy to others. Reading to them, like baking for them, was an act of nourishing and love. That was the secret ingredient in Famous Amos chocolate chip cookies. He murmured love to them, they spread love around. And if he sensed any reluctance, it was out with the kazoo.